All right, let's go to our next session. And it's a group discussion, and it's called Life Hacks. It's going to be led by Ben Clare. So let's turn our phones off, keep our conversations down, so that we can welcome Ben Clare. Thank you, Ben.
Testing the mics. Everyone can hear me all right? Oh, lovely. All right. All right, everyone. Thank you. Great to be here. We had some great discussions so far. And this time, I'm really relying on all of you. So this is a really big audience participation one. So we need your thinking caps on. I know we had the dinner last night, so maybe this will get the brain cells going. So my name is Ben, and for those of you who have an older program, you're probably thinking, where's Chelsea? You know, this isn't Chelsea. And I'm here to tell you that I'm not Chelsea. At least the last time I looked, I wasn't Chelsea, and that must have been in a previous life because my eyes haven't worked since I was born. So definitely not Chelsea. My name is Ben. And filling in for the lovely Chelsea today. And if Chelsea, if you are tuning in online, we hope you feel better soon. We do this session justice for you. So this session is about life hacks. You know, so far we've talked a lot about NDIS and using support workers and things. But what are things that make life easier for us? What have we found that works for us? Workarounds, accessibility things. So it could be, you know of a washing machine that does everything you want it to. What brand is it? You know, because we know now, obviously, the touch screen is becoming so popular. Have you had any fails? Have you purchased or tried to use a product that didn't work? It fell over. You know, you bought it and you were so excited about it and it just didn't do anything for you and you had to get sighted assistance to use it. Also, what are some workarounds? What accessibility products or what mainstream products have you used, for example, where they're not accessible but you found some cute little way of getting it to work, like kicking it in the right place? Or when it plays in the key of G, I know to turn the volume down on the meat and the veggies. Okay, so this session is really up to you guys to share with us some of the life hacks around, obviously I mentioned products, but it could be services as well. Even dealing with support workers, I know Emma was saying earlier how she trained up her worker about disciplining children. So, you know, how do you do things like that? How do you not feel intimidated by support workers? I know some people I know feel that they're a bit indebted to support workers, right? Because they're doing something for them. So it's like, thank you so much. You know, I love you. You're great. You've saved my life. But, you know, how do you take back control of something like that? You know, so this is really a great session that's going to be driven by all of you. And also, are you facing accessibility challenges at the moment? Is there something you would like to do or something you'd like to access that you just can't work a way around it and you'd love to do it? I know there's lots of social media groups and that out there that sort of do this. And of course, there's a lot of mainstream ones like Kmart Hacks. Has anyone ever seen that? Every time you look on social media, it's someone who's found some cheap way of building a house from Kmart furniture or something like that. You know, they're everywhere. But there's a lot of ones that are applicable too for us, for people who are blind. I know, for example, some years ago there was a huge buzz around air fryers. Remember the air fryer craze? Yeah. I'd never heard of them. I thought, what's an air fryer? This is cool. But what was so cool about this too was not how easy they were to use, but I got from other blind people the brand to get, right? Because a lot of air fryers are not accessible. They have these touch screens and some of them have apps too. You know how you got to download the app and to use certain products, and it's a mess, right? So I was able to find out which one had the dial on it. When you turn it to the right, you can, you know, set it for 10 minutes and so forth. So this is what this session's about, life hacks. How do we make our lives easier through the through lived experience, for want of a better way of putting it. So I am literally now going to throw to you, and I thank our roving micers, our volunteer roving micers.
Hello.
Because they hopefully will be a little bit busy this session, going around the room and getting some
ideas.
There's
plenty of hands already. And
you beauty. Okay, so let's start.
We've got Erin with the first hack.
Okay, thank you,
Erin.
Hello, Erin
Goodhart. I've got two hacks. They're brilliant. The first is a piece of equipment you can buy from Kmart. It's a hot water dispenser. I think it retails at $79. Yep. And I think the brand is Anko, A-N-K-O. It's the Kmart brand. Yep. And this is fabulous. It sets different temperatures and different levels. So, and it has a 2-litre, watery, holdery type situation. And in the morning, I put my coffee cup underneath, I press the button, and it fills up 250 mils of water at 85 degrees. It's fabulous. It's simple, but jeepers, it's great. I use it every day. And my other life hack is if you have an obliging sighty in your life, I have bells. They're children's bells, like a little handheld bell type thing with a loop on it. And I attach these bells regularly to the back of my husband.
Right. Okay. Yes.
It is brilliant. My guide dog follows these bells, but it is that audible confirmation when we are in the CBD or an airport or a busy shopping centre. And God bless this man. We have been out with 6 blindies and he is at the front and we all can hear him. We all know where he is. Honestly, get something audible on your sighties.
OMG, wowee. Erin, I love it, and I'm assuming your husband loves it too.
Hello. My name is Yvonne Huntley, and these are my life hacks. If I was newly blind or tutoring or mentoring a newly blind person, iPhone and find how to use it. Meta Ray-Ban glasses, have everything connected, be my eyes, know how to use it. Plus, of course, your little Google Nest in the home. I've got 5 in my, got one in my bedroom, got one in the bathroom, one in the kitchen, etc., etc.
Yep.
I do lots of word puzzles and I'm continually asking Google to spell a word, etc. Meta Ray-Ban glass. Oh, and also the AI apps, Perplexity, ChatGPT, Gemini, are a must for the blind. If you like to learn things, I'm like a sponge. I want to learn everything all the time. So they're my all go-to things. Thank you.
Oh, look, wonderful. And I think what's pleasing too about some of this is that these products are mainstream products, right? So these are things you can get anywhere. And while we love our assistive technology devices and those, they're beautiful, there'll always be a place for them. It is nice that we can use, increasingly, I think, out of the box, stuff that anyone else uses. And I think that is a lovely breakthrough. We're not there yet, but I think that is nice. And it's lovely to hear that we've got, you know, some nice integration with regular products there, which is great. Right, anyone else? This is nice.
Please. I've got the microphone. It's Katie here from Newcastle. Ben, I can't believe I've never met you in Newcastle.
I know, we're like neighbours. I know you've seen your name everywhere and yes.
Yeah.
Newcastle's too big.
Okay, sorry. Okay, yep. I've got two things quickly. The first one is not mainstream or cheap, but it is the 6-dot Braille labeler from Spectronics. Yep. It is so much better than the old-fashioned Braille Dymo labeler because the Braille actually sticks. So I've done things like my stove. I've sold my house last year and I find it quite amusing thinking about what did the new person make of the Braille labels? on the stove. And the second thing, back to the mainstream tech, at my new house, I was really struggling to hear when people were near the front door. So I bought the Ring doorbell system and a chime in the kitchen, and now I can detect everything. It's fantastic.
Ah, oh, brilliant. Love it. No, that's great, Katie. I think, and that was when you mentioned just there briefly about selling your house, so that brought up a bit of a hack that I was interested in. My sister, who some of you would know, she's also vision impaired, she bought a house quite recently, and it was quite a job finding a solicitor and that used things like DocuSign and things like that. So one thing is, to share, that's a hack, the names of accessible people, if you know what I mean. People that sort of get it. Like, you don't have to keep explaining all the time. It's like, oh, yeah, we're happy to use DocuSign or Adobe Sign. And they do, lovely explanations of the documents they're sending out. Because, as you would know, there's so many things you've got to sign and read through and stuff like that. So that's actually a great life hack too, is to share information around accessible people and to just get it, and you don't have to, muck around with, trying to explain accessibility and taking pictures of PDF files and sending them to you is just not nice. Even with OCR, it's a bit of a problem when it's like a 20-page document, isn't it? Beautiful. All right. Anyone else? I love these life hacks.
Good morning. Hello. It's Marion here. And I've had a thought about how in certain situations, whether it's critical situations through to being here at the convention, how we can support sighted people with our adaptive technology.
Hallelujah!
Yay! Yeah, yeah.
So my thought is this, and my question is, how many of you particularly totally blind technology users do not have photos of, let's say, your key people in case of emergency contacts, photographs on your thumbnail entry?
Ah.
All right. I actually think that it really is important that you get a photo taken of your next of kin, ICE people on your phone list, and have a photo of them put up on into your phone, okay? So that if you are in a dire situation, and you need help, then you can go to a sighted person. You can say, next of kin is ICE. They're listed as ICE Joe blogs, and Joe's got his or her picture up there next to the name and phone number. And with regard to this convention, I was just talking to Steve a while ago, Ransley Richardson, and we were discussing the frustration of finding people in this cacophony that erupts at every break.
Yes.
So I suggested that he take a photo of his wife or have a photo taken of his wife and put her up on the wallpaper on his phone. That way he could... You can show your volunteer the picture of the most important person in your life that you're looking for, and then they know who to look for.
Or we can put bells on them. That's a very interesting... That's a lovely, interesting life hack. I must remember that one. And I think, too, the iPhone does have a health app, too, that you can upload next of kin information to. I haven't really used it, but I believe it is quite accessible and you can add all sorts of information about your health and next of kin and contact details and stuff. Yep. Yep. We'll get the mic back to you.
It's coming.
Yep.
Hi everyone, it's Annette here from Dubbo. I have a little hack that is primarily for the dog handlers in the room.
Yep.
But other people can benefit from it too. About 3 weeks ago, I discovered there's little silicone pouches. I'm forever, you know, cleaning out kibble and crumbs from my pockets. And I'm ashamed to say this, but I have been known to put kibble in my bra because I didn't have any pockets. But I knew I would need some if my dog did something amazing and I had to reward him. So I found these little silicone pouches on Amazon. Please don't go to Temu. They're disgusting. Go to Amazon's disgusting too, but, you know, these are on Amazon. They're about 7 centimetres long and about 5 centimetres high. They are a little silicone pouch that is designed for technology cords and AirPods and things like that. So you can just slip these in your pocket or down your bra if you have one, and you can access treats really easily. They hold a decent amount of treats as well. They're not sticky. They're not plastic bags or anything. I've tried all the plastic bags, but these are the most amazing little pouches, and you can find them by looking for silicone pouches. You probably search for silicone pouch, AirPods, technology, that sort of thing. And they come in all sorts of different colours and there's a whole lot of different price ranges, but you just find the one that you want. And if you're a member of the Dog Guide Handlers Australia Facebook group, which you should be, there's a link to them on there. I posted a little while ago on that group, so you'll be able to find the ones I purchased on there. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. That's a great hack. And I've got to say too, and Temu, if you got it on Temu, you might be missing out on those inaccessible coupon packs, but better to go to Amazon. I think it's a much more accessible app, I find, too, than Temu. I think it's quite a difficult one to get through the old Temu. Great. All right. Now, I am relying on someone to let me know when we're getting close to time. Because I'm a bit engrossed in this, so I'm not looking at any clocks. But let's keep going, because I think these are great. Is there anyone out there who is actually facing a bit of a challenge at the moment? We're all amongst friends, so I'm sure that we can solve all the problems of the world in this very room. So is there anyone... Yep.
Facing a challenge in that I don't know where I live, but apart from that, I've got a couple of life hacks that I was going to talk about. It's Graham Innes here.
Yep.
The first one is the low-tech one. Cable ties are a wonderful way of identifying things. I use them on my garbage bin lids, and I attach various numbers of them to various bins, so I know which bin is which, and when I go out to find the bins... I don't get mixed up and take my neighbour's bins by mistake. So that's the low-tech tip. But the high-tech one is a travel agent for people with disabilities. And they're called Supported Travel Experience. They're in Brisbane. They've got a 1300 number. They actually employ people with disabilities. And I rang and said... that I was travelling down here for the convention and I was planning to bring my guide dog at that stage. I didn't know how many other guide dogs were coming. So then I didn't bring her. But they said, oh, yeah, we know all about that. And it just... I had the sigh of relief when the woman said that to me, and she did a great job, so I'll be using them again. STX.
Wonderful. Yeah, really great hacks. And I think, too, it is, as the program introduced this, high-tech... low-tech, no-tech, hacks can be very powerful to steer us through, I think, a world that arguably has not been created for us. A world where people develop technologies, develop things that sometimes we have to do, essential things, where we aren't considered. People with disability are not considered when these when things are being developed. You know, even though that often people will say, oh, this is for the comfort of everyone, this is for the ease of everyone, it's meant to make life easier. Sometimes things can make life much more difficult for us. And it can even be on, like, I've seen websites that have even said they're accessible and they've got the WCAG guidelines and everything. They link to everything. We are compliant. And then you fill out a form and the submit button doesn't do what it's meant to do. Or they forgot to put the audio challenge and the recapture, you know, or it's out of order and it's never been in order. A little bit like when they have disability, you know, accessible toilets and someone's got the key and they can't find where the key is to unlock it, you know. So they're ticking all these boxes, but they're not, you know, it's not actually happening. Yeah. Anyone else? Yes, please.
Yeah, I want to say something. My name is Jante. You know, I come here 7 months now. I had a problem related to mobility to get outside from my home. From Monday to Friday, my husband go to work. I need to stay home. I don't know where to get out. And also, if I want to study, I need to study online. I don't know how to connect with the community. And want to get a job. I don't know how to get out to look for a job at a shop or a factory or somewhere. I want a job because I need money to support myself and my family as well. But it's challenging related to mobility to get out. And I just get search many organizations and finally I get one staff from Guide Dog, Victoria, to guide me how to go by bus, how to use the Wi-Can. But it limited time. I need to book her about 2 or 3 weeks before and get about 1 or 2 hours with her, not so much. That's why when I want to get out to the market or I not well, I want to go hospital, I need to wait my husband come back from work. So all the time stay home in front of the laptop, search for a job and don't know how to get out by myself and feel scared without any support. So I want to know any idea or any recommend or support for me to make sure that I have any support and get independent to get out in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. And before we get to Helen, who's next, yes, you bring up very important points there around, I guess, unique challenges that face people who come to this country from overseas, and it's wonderful that you're here. So definitely a big welcome. And it's great that you're at convention as well because you're linking with people who I think can really help you navigate systems and bureaucracies and things. You know, we've all lived it, and I think we're a really helpful bunch on the whole, which is great. So it's great that you're here and that, I'm sure that you will get a lot out of this moving forward and help accessing things that you need to be here in Australia with us. And we're so glad you're here. Wonderful. Thank you. Now, Helen, you were going to say something.
Yeah, just a quick, it's just another 10 minutes to go for this session, but just a reminder that if you're on Zoom or would like to ask a question, just raise your hand and the Zoom hosts will be able to facilitate your question, and they may also be able to provide the text number for SMS questions. Thanks, Ben.
Yes, please. Thank you for the reminder there, Helen. We would love to hear from some of our online participants. So I'm sure I've got some incredible hacks of their own. And we will do a few more from in the room as well. So plenty of time to... You think?
Talofa Lava, Ben, our Pacific friend. Accessibility challenges, we have many, but if any of you have, Slayton styluses that you don't use or white canes that you don't use anymore, you can get in touch with me and I can take them back with me to the islands, even if there's a braille machine. Because In our country, we need such simple resources that we haven't even got to the stages of braille displays being used. We just need the basics. My life hack: I like to speak. I speak 8 languages, and one of my life hacks is to use computer. So what I do, since our Samoan language and probably only the Maori, the New Zealand indigenous language, is only the one that's already had in the screen reader. But for other Pacific languages, there's no language that exists in the screen reading settings. So what I do is, if I want to listen to a long as Samoan language document, I just change it to Spanish, and Samoan language has the same vowels as Spanish, so you just listen. Thank you.
Yes, I actually remembered that hack. That's a great one, Ari. Yeah, thank you. I was told that too when I moved to Samoa some years ago. They said, switch your speech synthesizer to Spanish and you're right. Still sounded really weird to me at first, but I was assured it did work. All right, anyone?
Yes, I'm next, and I introduced myself this morning as Chris Stewart from Melbourne. And I want to just mention that Graham Innes is sitting beside me, and I noticed that he introduced himself from being from Melbourne, and in fact he's staying with me, and what I'm a bit worried about is that Graham may be moving in. I've known you for a long time, Graham, but there are some things we don't do. We draw a line, yes. A life hack: I have some... a little bit of useful vision, largely tunnel vision, and I enjoy travelling overseas a lot. One of the really practical things my wife and I do, now my wife is sighted, I encourage her to wear white coloured tennis shoes, boots, shoes, and as a cane user, I can follow her comfortably through crowds anywhere I go, because I use my limited sight to just focus on her feet and following her. I think she'd refuse to put a bell on herself, but she's happy to find the most accessible path of travel through a very complex overseas countries where the footpaths are not always as comfortable as they are in Melbourne.
Oh, that's wonderful, and that's a great use of your limited vision. It's great to utilise it in that way. That's excellent. I'd have to stick to the bells myself. Yep. That'd have to be me, but I think that's a great little hack. Okay. Yep. Beautiful, okay. Anyone?
Down else? In the Zoom room, we have We first have one quick comment from Robin McKenzie, who is emailed in saying that having a really loud, unique laugh so that you can be recognised in a crowd. And we do miss having your laugh here, Robin. And then we'll see if we can get rid of that echo and hear from Christina from the Zoom room.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to be there today, but I'm unwell and had other things going on. But, yes, this is amazing, and thank you. My hack would be for any hikers out there, walkers, poles are amazing. Like, we've done lots of long day hikes and trails, and it's accessible for me, and it works really well. So get your poles out if you want to get into that. And also, just to confuse the issue, I'm finding that it's really difficult to navigate because my vision is declining. So people tend to push you into an area. So, oh, we'll just use JAWS, and what about Braille? And you could do this. And I'm like, I don't know anything about JAWS, and I'm not there yet. And that's quite limiting, rather than focusing on where you're at personally, which I get is really difficult. But yeah, those sort of things. And also, it's nice to hear Katie's voice from Newcastle. I've seen your name and your posts about stuff. And yeah, hello, Katie.
Lovely, and a lovely contribution. Thank you for that. And I know it's quite a personal journey, working out where you're at in the technology needs space and where people often steer you. So I do understand that. I guess an interesting accessibility challenge can be those of us who've flown in from places, how to very politely refuse a wheelchair without offending the people who are giving up their lives to help you. And they tell you how short-staffed they are and how they'll just fit you in before their lunch break or something like that.
Excuse me, Ben, the one.
So that's an interesting one that may be an accessibility challenge that we can talk about.
Excuse
Anyone
me, Ben.
Else? Yes,
it's Elise Lonsdale. Good morning, everybody. Okay, PDF files, somebody mentioned it before. ChatGPT, and I'm a user of Claude as well, which is another alternative. Yep. As you upload your offending a PDF file, it can be a proper vector one, or it can be even the image that somebody says, oh, it's a PDF, it must be readable. Stick it in ChatGPT or Claude and tell it that you would like to have it come back to you as a Word or Markdown document, and you are good to go. Best PDF reader. The other one that I've got is even better than that. I had somebody send me a photo of a post-it note with dates on it for my course. Handwritten.
Ah, lovely.
All right, so the last bastion of recognising text, guys, try that. And yes, it worked.
Oh, that's awesome. I think, Elise, we could have a whole session on computer hacks for you. I think we need you to do a whole session on these sorts of hacks, Elise. I think you'd be a treasure trove of information. And while this session's about life hacks, I'm sure there's even a few hackers out there who may be able to share their secrets on how to hack into things. Lovely.
Ben, it's
all right, we're near the end, but please, yes, we'll wrap up with a few more.
Okay, Ben, it's Doug here.
Yep.
Apologies if people are very aware of this, but multi-factor authentication gives me the you know what's, but
yeah,
all the site trash always go for the text option. Make sure you know that the phone option is humongously easier, because all you do is you just press hash and it's already done the authentication. It's amazing how many blindies I know who have tried to copy the six figures, put them into whatever and authenticate. Just go for the phone option. It's hellishly easier. Now, I've got a wife. Now, she won't put bells on, but my Maltese Shih Tzu does have an air tag. So if I do lose...
Ah, righty, oh.
Now, and all my mates have actually bought air tags for their car. So if they do lose their car, if someone steals it, they'll be able to track it down themselves. It's not quite the same thing, but I know a lot of us have got it on our luggage. And I've got on my puppy, so if my puppy does run away, I can get him back, much to his disgust. Thanks, Ben.
What cool life hacks. I got to try that authentication thing. That is cool bananas. I've never heard of that one. That is great. That's going to help a lot of us, I think. All right, have we got time for maybe one or two more, and then we'll finish up? It's been great, guys.
Testing.
Any more?
Testing. Testing.
Yep.
Hi, Jennifer Parry speaking. A new service which started in the US but is now available in Australia. It is basically an online shopping search engine which can go away and look for a price, and even you can get help to order things or describe items. It's called InnoSearch.ai, as in InnoSearch.ai. It also has a text service and the number for the text version of it, where you can send a text to help you find best prices for items. You can get help to order it. You can get help to have them described. Very useful search engine that saves huge amounts of time and has lots of different filters you can use to find what you want. And a phone number as well. So there's phone, text or website option for that service.
Oh, cool. Wow, I'm learning a lot today. That's great. Thanks, Jen. Let's have one more. I think we can stretch it to one, and then we'll finish the session.
Yeah, hi everyone. It's Ryan Honshuten here. Instead of using bells on your husbands and wives, everyone's got lots of spare keys hanging around at home. Put the keys onto a keychain and hang it on your belt loop or something like that, and then the keys make a noise which sounds more I guess, normal than ringing bells. But hey, the bells at Christmas time would be all right. The other one that I do is I do a lot of cooking outside on the Weber. And it's quite common for me on a Sunday to have two or three Webers all going at once with the coals and smoke a lot of meats and veggies and things like that. Really love it. And part of that is using a lot of thermometers all at once. So there's a couple that you can go, you can get either Inkbird or Weber, and it Bluetooths back to your phone. So I've even used them inside in my oven inside. So you can put the thermometer in the food, it stays in the food constantly. You don't have to open the door and check it and all that sort of stuff. It then Bluetooths back to your phone, and you can just check your temperature constantly, monitor it. It works on the Android, so it has to work on Apple, right? So they do cost about $180, but when you've got four thermometers going and you can monitor each part of your cooking, it's just fantastic. Really, really good. Makes cooking a breeze. I've never cooked raw chicken.
Brilliant. Yes. Brilliant. I love it. That is great. Guys, thank you all so much. That was a really enlightening session, and I think we could talk all day about some of these hacks. Lots of social media groups out there that you can connect to on this. And, you know, feel free to keep swapping ideas and that at convention. I think we've been doing it. But, yeah, thank you all. Thanks for listening to me. And thanks for all of your great participation. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ben. It's a really popular, it's always a popular session. And thanks so much to everyone who's contributed life hacks. And I'm sure that we can keep sharing them. We should find a way through BCA to just keep sharing life hacks, because they're sure to help someone, and you never know when you might need that. So thank you again to Ben and everyone else. Okay, we're going to keep moving through. I'm going to hand over now to Katrina Taylor for another NAB and Blab session. So let's go with that. Thanks, Katrina.
Okay, we got the dud. Okay, we have power. Right, I am back with another NAB and Blab session, and just because people didn't turn up to convention doesn't mean I can't get them. My next two interviewees are going to be joining us on Zoom. Also, Helen, can I please ask for you at each person to give me a 4-minute time call, please, just so I can wind them up, because we've got 2 minutes all up. Okay, so firstly on the Zoom, hopefully he is there, is Terry Boyle from Queensland. He is,
hello, everyone.
Oh, Terry, excellent. We have sound. So, okay, so Terry, how long ago did you retire as a social worker?
Oh, that's now, well, it was 2007, so yeah, what's that? 18 years, my goodness. Yep.
18 years ago, my goodness. Okay, so you, back in 1975, what had you graduated from your degree then? What were you doing? Tell us.
Yes, I had. I had graduated, and by the way, I mentioned too that my first convention was at Coogee in 1986. There you are. But in 1975, no, I had not heard of the formation of BCA or NFBC as it was then. Yes, I'd managed to get myself a job in the Commonwealth Department of Social Services as a social worker. Prior to that, I'd been 5 years with the Queensland State Health Department working in a psychiatric hospital. But could never advance in that position, in the sense that I was always just a temporary employee.
Okay, now, Terry, why wouldn't they give you, like, a permanent job? You seem like you would have been a fairly reliable and good worker. What was the reasoning for not giving you a permanent job status?
My understanding was that if I was made permanent, I would be eligible to join the superannuation scheme, and I was told that, well, perhaps I might experience difficulties in doing my work and have to be forced into a resignation or retirement. But that never happened in those first 5 years, and over those intervening, I applied a couple of times for other jobs and eventually got one, as I said, with the appointment on a permanent basis with a federal government department.
Right, excellent. So we're going back to when you were working at the psychiatric hospital. We all know hospitals love paper files, even more so then. How did you get access to the information in paper in patients' files, and also so you could make your patients' notes?
Right. Well, in those days there were no mobile phones or anything else, or dictaphones. I did have a portable typewriter on which I wrote my own reports, but I had I supplied my own Stainsby Brailler, which I took to work, and I'd make notes based on what the nursing staff would read the clinical files to me. And when I wanted to write a report, well, as I said, I'd had my own touch typewriter and wrote the report that way.
Okay, and I take it then you would get a staff member to read back what you've written so that you're sure that your notes were accurate?
I can't remember that happening, because I think when you learn to be a typist, you know when you're making a mistake. And, of course, in those days, well, there were no computers. So if you were making typos, well, you pulled up the papers out and started again.
Okay, so, sorry, Terry, we have got a short bit of time left. But so you had two small children by this stage? So just
by 1975, yes.
Yeah. So just briefly give us a little bit about what it was like trying to raise two small children as a blind dad.
Yeah, well, my wife and I worked things out in terms of what we shared the different activities, and yes, I learned that the easiest, and I did contribute an article to Kids Are Fun for Everyone, just talking about those early days of things like changing nappies, which of course we didn't have disposable nappies in those days. It was the old cloth nappies, and you learn to change the baby on the floor rather than risk a child rolling off a change table. So, but yes, you learned how to prepare meals and all those other things, caring for young children.
And I take it your children survived and made it through to adulthood? Unscarred?
They did. well, hopefully not too scarred, because they've gone on. Yes, they are. Our children now are in their 50s, and yes, we've got 7 grandchildren. We're doing okay there. But back in 1975, we did make our first major trip, and went to Tasmania and took a 9-month-old in a backpack to carry him around, and had a stroller. So I think I look back on it now and wonder, my goodness, what did we have in mind? It wasn't an easy way to travel in those days. But anyway, it was an enjoyable trip after all.
Yes, Terry. And I think what you and Rhonda did was you just worked it out. You got on with it. Terry's wife, Rhonda, is fully sighted. But between you just worked out how to do it. and did it. But thank you very much for your time, Terry. I'm sorry, we're going to have to move on to our next
Navigator. Yes, thanks, Katrin, and hello to everyone there. Good. Thank you.
Okay, so the next person I have lined up on Zoom is one of this year's scholarship recipients, Ava Boucher. Are you there, Ava?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Technology loves us this afternoon. It's awesome. Okay, so Ava, tell us, what are you doing this year? We know you're a scholarship recipient, but yeah.
Yeah, so I'm in my first year of uni at Monash, studying a double degree of law and arts.
Cool. So tell us, do you have any ideas what you want to do with that? Yeah, that's right. Ask the first year what they want to do with their degrees because they totally know.
Yeah, obviously it's like really difficult at this stage to know because we've kind of only really gone through criminal law and like foundations of law. So obviously we'll like look at some more different types of law as the years go on. But I'd love to maybe do something like in the sector of like human rights and things like that, especially with my double degree. Like I'm doing history and French as well, so I learn a lot about different cultures and things like that.
Okay, cool. So Ava, in 50 years' time, when BCA is turning 100, and you'll be here, of course, what do you think life will be like for people who are blind or vision impaired then, either in this country or elsewhere? What do you hope for?
Well, I really hope that globally, not just like in Australia, but globally, there's greater legislation protecting people with visual impairments and with blindness. You know, obviously in Australia right now, like we have like the Disability Discrimination Act, but I think there's a lot of progress that needs to happen in a lot of developing nations as well. Because, you know, often having blindness or a visual impairment significantly impacts people's lives economically and socially because there's not enough support for these people to be able to actually pursue careers or the things that they want to do in life because of poor support by the government or by their country just in general.
Okay, yeah, so you're looking particularly, say, maybe in our discussions with developing countries.
And
maybe ways to assist so that everyone in the world who's blind or vision impaired can get better access to what they need. So any thoughts about here in Australia, what you think it might be like?
In Australia, I think definitely we're working to be more like inclusive. Like even as the years have gone on, like when I was much younger, a lot of people didn't really understand my like visual impairment. But as I've gotten older, I've found people are more understanding, they're more willing to help. And I think that will continue to progress, especially like within 100 years, I think people will be much more accepting and actually willing to like support people.
Yeah, thank you for that. And also, Ava, I understand that you do have some usable vision and you told me that sometimes people haven't realised that maybe you've got a vision impairment. So then like, what do you mean you need that in an accessible format?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's kind of weird being in that in between because I guess like at first glance looking at me, you wouldn't think anything. But then I think people started to realize around me when I kind of told my friends like, oh, like I can't actually get my license or anything. And they're like, what? Like, so it's just like little things like that, that people don't really realize. Yeah.
Okay. So we heard from Marianne Diamond yesterday and she was doing second year science at Monash in 1975. So for you getting access to materials at uni, tell us a little bit about how that happens now.
Yeah, so I'd say Monash is pretty accessible. We have like a platform called Moodle. I'm not sure. I don't think that would have been used back then, but basically everything's online there. And so like all the lectures are online there. So and like obviously to have like subtitles and things like that. So everything is basically on the computer, so it's quite easy for me to access, even the exams as well. Like I had my exams last week, and I'm able to have special consideration to like be in a separate room and use like a screen reader, and everything's like enlarged on the laptop. So yeah, it's definitely quite helpful. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So anything else you wanted to, you know, add about what you think might happen in the future or, in, well, let's face it, universities?
Universities, yeah. While I do think, like, the Monash is quite an accessible university, I do think there still could be a lot of progress because while, like, in general, like, the tutors tend to be great and everything's great online, I think sometimes just like little things are like overlooked just on campus. Like the campus is really, really big and it's really hard for me to get around sometimes because the signs are really small and like the Google Maps isn't always the best. So like sometimes I do get lost. So I definitely think there could be improvement with that hopefully in the future.
Yes, no, good point. Certainly getting around on uni campus. I went to James Cook and that was very spread out and there wasn't Google Maps.
Yeah.
But at least generally the footpaths were basically clear unless it rained. But look, Ava, thank you for being able to join us today and for sharing your ideas. And I look forward to seeing you at the 100th anniversary because I'm coming. I've told everyone yesterday I'll be 104, but I will be here with the green hair and all. So I'll if I don't see you before, I'll see you then.
Thank you so much for having me.